Banu and Ben, they do the block puzzle. Banu starts panicking. He's asking God to help him. He's scrambling. I wrote down, he's scrambling as if the cameraman has a camera on one shoulder and a gun on the other.
When she's like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Do we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. Yeah. And you're watching Black by Reality.
Black by Daddy.
And those who love us.
You are watching and or listening to Black by Reality, a place for Black by Baddies and those who love us. Today we are talking about Survivor 46 episode 3, and I am your host Nicole Weaver, an entertainment reporter. I am currently writing about reality TV for Collider, so I hope you check that out. But I'm also here with a podcaster named Gia Worthy. Hi, Gia.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you so much for thinking of me to be one of your guests this season. I am so excited to be a part of this. I am also black and bisexual, so I just feel like this is a podcast made for viewers like me, and I am so glad that you have created this beautiful space and invited me into it.
Of course, of course. Yeah, that means a lot to me, and I am so excited to have another Black by Baddie talk about this wild, wild season, and Yanu specifically.
Yes, oh my god, Yanu was like, Yanu feels like a fan fiction tribe, right? Because while I would have loved if we just miraculously have not lost anybody on that tribe, right? Like, RIP to Jelinski and Jess, but even losing two players so far, and almost losing a third one,
yes.
I feel like I know each character so well. I have an idea of their personality. I have an idea of their style of game, right?
Yes.
But they're all so messy. Everybody has a role in the mess. No one is innocent. I love it. I'm obsessed with them so much. And the fact that they are the purple tribe, I mean, like, just come on now. Come on. This was no accident.
Exactly. It's like, I saw someone before say that, like, okay, we don't have themes anymore, but it seems like we're still following the Rain, Beauty, and Brawn,
yes,
a little bit. And, like, lately, purple being beauty, but also I think it's low-key the queer tribe.
Yes. There, if we, I know that there are other, I believe Kenzie and Banu are the two queer representatives on Yanu, and they're the only ones, right? I could be wrong. I apologize if I am wrong. And I know we have queer rep on the other tribes as well. However, when we're talking about, like, bisexual chaos and, like, chaotic bi energy, it's Banu. It has to be Banu. Yes. They're the purple tribe. Everyone is messy in some way. I don't think anybody has had any, no one on this tribe has had, like, a, like, fully sane arc right now. I could make a case for Tiffany being like the sane person of the tribe, or Q being the sane person of the tribe, but even they have had their moments. And I thought that was the direction we were going with Q, and then this episode happened where he was, I have been very excited to see Q's updates on Twitter as well. Kenzie, Tiffany, you all are stars, but everyone in this tribe is a little messy at this point, and
yes,
it makes me love them more.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to give them grace, right? We're thinking it's 7 days, but 7 days without Flint, without any fire, and without food, like, you are probably going to be calling to the gods whether you believe in them or not. So.
And also, I just feel like when we were going into this season, right, there's obviously, there's going to be a lot of guesses, a lot of predictions for how the season is going to go. And with the three tribe format, one of the biggest questions we always get in preseason is who is going to be the disaster tribe.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, Nicole, but I heard a lot of people predicting orange or green, either Nami or Siga, just based on like physicality, physical appearances. We had a lot of tall folks on Yanu, which I think threw people off a little bit. Seemed to have some, like, very active individuals in that tribe. I don't know very many people that would have put money on Yanu being our disaster tribe of the pre-merge. They are delivering. This may be one of my favorite iterations of the disaster tribe thus far.
Yeah, I still can't get past Yanu, Yanu. I still can't get past Jam, Carolyn, our other gay, and that there was a gay fight off, which I don't know if you've seen the update, but Jam and him were at the GLAAD Awards, and like,
oh my, yeah. Romeo and Jam, yes, yeah. I have seen. Romeo, just like, if you are not following Romeo on social media, please do so, because he is just living his best life. Like, his photos give luxurious. He is doing his thing out now that he is off the island. But his photos are so glamorous. And every once in a while, we get little sprinkles of some Survivor throwbacks in there. And Romeo is another one of my favorites from the pregame era, or from the new era, I should say. I was a big fan of him in his season. I was, like, always hyping him up. And now he has gone forward and just, like, continued to be the successful, beautiful man and showing love for his fellow queer Survivor players. And I love to see that.
Love to see it. We have so many queer players at this point. Like, I know we're done with themes, but give us an all-queer season, CBS.
I'm telling you, I have been dying for, this is like, if I got to make a season, right? I have said that I want himbos versus bimbos versus bembos, right? Oh. Like, unprecedented, if I got to pick a theme, it would be that, and it would be the most unhinged season ever, but... oh my God, would I be entertained?
Yeah.
Now, I feel like I would be willing to relinquish that idea for an all queer season if I got to. I just think that, you know, they don't even have to advertise it as the all queer season. Just cast everybody as queer. I'm sure we have had all, like, no openly gay folks on a season before. Like, I can't name one off the top of my head because I don't necessarily always look up people's sexualities while they're playing, but especially in the early seasons, like, there's probably a few in there. We don't have to say anything. Just, like, do it.
Yeah.
And, like, wait for people to figure it out.
And honestly, if CBS is like, oh, we're going to, like, lose viewers, make them all returnees. Like,
yes.
Fans,
that part,
rooted for all of these people at some point.
Yes.
But let's get into episode 3. Our main character, Banu.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's what opens. It's after tribal. Jess went home. Banu, you can tell he's just so hungry. He can't follow and retain information. Everyone's trying to explain to him why there was a fake idol made, why they didn't tell him. He's just like, what? All he knows is that he's on the outs. And that's the most important thing. And he's like, I got to figure out what I can do. Tiffany is like, you can lie to Jeff. My favorite quote ever. She's like, it'll be okay. And he's just like, I can't lie to Jeff.
Oh my gosh. I have seen a lot of discourse on Banu as a character, right? Banu. Is he good casting? Is he bad casting? Is he a good character? Is he a bad character? All of this stuff. Yeah. I don't care about any of it, right? I love him.
Yeah.
He's so messy. I can totally understand how, as a player sharing a tribe with him in how he is playing right now, that it obviously you would be very frustrated, right? Whether you are considering him as an ally or not. But we deal with, like, there's always people that get on your nerves on a tribe. This is nothing new. This is just something that is being highlighted in this particular episode. I love it. I love the fact that we are getting messy players here. I love that he is still here, because for a large portion of this episode, it felt like we were just being treated to Banu's swan song here. Mm-hmm. Like, it really felt like we were just preparing to say goodbye to him. And then, I don't know about you, but I forgot that we had the little snippet in between about Randon being not well and having to see Medic. And then we get a little 10-minute segment, really, about how, well, Q may want to get rid of Kenzie, right? So that was supposed to be the little drama in there, in which I'm like, but I don't want to lose Kenzie, you know? Like, I don't want Banyu to go either, but I also don't want to lose Kenzie. I really don't want to lose anyone on Yanu. So what do we do here? Well, Survivor said, well, we're about to have a medevac, and, you know, bye-bye, Randon. Which I'm also not happy about. I don't like medevacs, and I really hope Randon does get a chance to play again. It seems like he was really working hard based on his preseason, or I keep saying preseason press, but his exit press that has recently come out. It seems like he was working very, very hard to better his situation at camp, and by proxy, better Venus's situation at camp. And I would just love to see him return. However, for the story of this season, Yanu remains intact for another day. Nami is now down a number. And our good vibe tribe, Sega, is currently the only tribe with their entire members still intact still. And they don't seem to hate each other yet, which is more than what we can get from the other two tribes. I'm obsessed with the dynamics here. Oh, love them. Love Sega. This feels like a tribe you would just dream to be on. Am I wrong? Yeah.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, we got good vibes so far, but everyone's very careful because they're aware that Liv's a short time. Yes. So Sega, we start with them. They're on an idol hunt together. Don't love that, but, you know, everyone's obviously like, if I actually am the one to find it, I'm not gonna show it. I knew Charlie wasn't going to get it because I was like, Charlie's narrating a lot. I don't believe he's going to get it. And he wasn't. Jem, who's right next to him, grabs that. And I said her snatch game is beautiful.
Yes. She did
very quickly. And she was just like, and I'm still chilling. And no one seems to see a thing. I loved it.
Oh my God. It's just, I am so happy. Jem has been my sleeper pick for a little bit where she hasn't gotten a lot of airtime, but also Sega's old tribe really hasn't gotten a lot of airtime because, and you know, in the grand scheme of Survivor, it makes sense. They have not lost a member yet. We now know that they are the last tribe that is going to lose a member. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard anything about whether there is a tribe swap, whether they are going to be going to tribal council anytime soon, whether we should be worried about any of the members on this tribe. Mm-hmm. But they're just having a good time here. And Jem has been someone that we really haven't seen a ton of. I would say like Maria, Charlie, and Ben are really the standouts right now on this tribe. But
correct. Tim also lying very low.
Yes. Yes, and I would say, like, Tim, Jem, and Mariah have not gotten a lot of screen time yet.
We do know Mariah's on the bottom, though.
Yeah.
I believe in a previous, episode, everyone's like, Mariah's a little kooky, a little different.
Yeah. So I'm not sure where we get an idea of what could happen if Sega was going to go to Tribal Council. Like, we know enough to have some scenarios in our head about what's going to happen if this tribe goes to Tribal Council, but we don't have any reason currently to believe that they are going to Tribal Council anytime soon. But Jem is just someone that has still stuck out to me as someone that could potentially make a deep run, if not win, in the game. And we haven't gotten anything to say that she wouldn't be able to do that yet. Now we are finally getting a moment with her where she finds the beware advantage. She finds the area where the idol would be. And she has to just wait for Sega to lose a challenge before she is able to unlock the box. And though we see in the previews that Sega is probably finding it next episode, they can't do anything about it because they don't have the beware advantage. So it doesn't really matter if they find this item or not. They can't do anything about it until they lose.
Yes.
I'm not, and I don't want Sika to go to tribal council. I love the idea that we still have a good vibes tribe for the time being. They just feel like a very happy-go-lucky group of six people.
Agreed.
But I'm really happy that we're still getting little tidbits in here, because I know if this was a 60-minute episode, we probably wouldn't even, like, we would not know the tribe dynamics. We would not have an understanding of who these players are yet. We'd be lucky to know these people's names at this point. And so I'm very lucky that we at least get these little snippets here of Sika.
Yeah, and I think some very closely, close watchers of episodes when I was, like, on social media also noted, which I don't think was the case every time, but they were like, when Jem reads the Beware Advantage, it said if her tribe never loses, she has to wait for further instruction.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, did they put that during the episode?
Yes. So it's that's interesting. Maybe the other people have said it. Maybe. But I
don't feel like I heard it, though.
I know. So maybe Sika never loses and she's just not going to have a vote for quite a while.
I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if Sika is the only tribe going into merge that doesn't lose a member. I have been thinking this for a while, but even though we are not seeing a ton of Sika right now, I would not be surprised if one of these six members is the winner.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
And this is looking way ahead, right? Like, I could be totally off here. They could be imploding next episode and I would be none the wiser. But I just feel like the dynamics we are getting of all three tribes, we know, I keep saying it, Sika is the good vibes tribe. They're also the only tribe currently now that has not lost anybody yet. I just feel like when we get to that mergatory stage, we get to the individual point, they have the numbers advantage, but they also have the social connections advantage in that I feel like even though there are clear alliances going on there, I can see this tribe working together to move further as a unit and take advantage of the fact that they're going in with six people. I feel like if the roles were reversed and it was like Sika going in with five and Nami going in with six, we would not have been getting that same dynamics. I think that tribe is falling apart the moment they have the opportunity to. And Yanu is basically trauma bonded at this point. I have no idea what's going to happen to them when we get to the individual phase, at whatever version of them is left at that point. But I'm still, again, we're still obsessed with them. So, like, whatever they do, I'm very excited to see unfold.
I have a theory, but that's when we get to the challenge. Let's check in with Nami. So, Nami has also been doing pretty well. At this point, Nami, Hunter's making beds.
Beds.
That's well.
Like Nami. A box spring bed.
That's crazy. So everyone's like, okay, Hunter's going to be sticking around because they need him, but he doesn't talk strategy, he knows. But that's not true. Like, we saw in previous episodes, Hunter actually is teamed up with Tevin, which is, Tevin is in the best position on this whole entire tribe. So he's very under the radar. Everyone thinks, oh, he's very much like Ozzy, and Ozzy didn't win. So maybe they're like, this is going to be fine.
I don't know if he's necessarily not. I agree with you. I don't think that Hunter isn't talking strategy. Yeah. But I think, especially, again, we got to remember, these are small tribes here. Like, you just need three people and you're guaranteed a tie at this point. Like, four, you just need one more person to swing to get four votes here. So I just think that, like, if you have a solid trio here, and you can probably swing one of the other three over, you don't need to talk about strategy all the time. Like, Hunter's in a very different position as opposed to someone like Venus, who is kind of his adversary in his episode, really the only one considering voting him out. And I think if someone like Liz, who I would argue is in that middle ground here, and is saying, yeah, Hunter's probably not going anywhere anytime soon, I would understand why Venus's perspective of we need to get rid of him as soon as possible, because Hunter's not someone in a position that he really needs to be talking strategy to the same level that someone like Venus is. If he has a solid majority here and people willing to keep him around, you know, why rock the boat?
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. I don't know how she's going to get the capital to get Hunter out, but that's her target right now.
That before this episode, I would have said that, you know, it was either Venus going or one of the Soda Hunter Tevin trio going, because it did just depending solely on if Randon got the idol and was able to play it, right? Yes. Be able to figure out where his, like, if he was able to play it correctly, then maybe one of that main three would be going here. So that's a world where I could have seen Hunter going. Now that Randon is out with this medical evacuation, we really got to hope that if for any type of shakeup in Nami, really Venus has to find the Beware advantage and unlock the box with the idol in it. And she has an advantage because Randon told her where things are, what they look like, which is something that the other side of this tribe doesn't know yet.
Correct.
But we have to see how it plays out.
We have to see. Yes. I did see Carson tweet about no one better say anything about Hunter.
Oh, my God.
You remember Carson had a lot of people had feelings about him being able to 3D print the puzzles. And
And
I think this is different. I think if Hunter is out there building it from wood, that's completely different than 3D printing.
Listen, I think both are fine. And the only reason I'm saying that is because production should just be making new puzzles. Like, we should not be reduce, reuse, recycling the same puzzles in different colors for every, like, Carson would not be able to 3D print all of the puzzles. If production was making new puzzles or diversifying the puzzles that are available. I get ones like the flame puzzle, kind of iconic now. Like, people remember it. The tree puzzle, another one people remember. It's iconic. But we don't need to be redoing the same types of damn puzzles every season. Like, let's throw some new ones in there. And that does not mean replace it with a 500-pound gecko every chance you get. However, I would like something different. Like, do a matching game at some point. Like, goddamn.
I know. This is CBS in general, because Big Brother has the same problem. It's just business as usual, and it just makes it so easy to predict. But yeah, so I will say, to go back to Venus and Randon being allies, I'm sorry. I know we really want to root for Venus, but I absolutely can see with every new clip why she's on the bottom.
Yes.
The way she talks to people is wild.
I kind of agree. Now,
she told Randon, how do I know I'm not blind? Randon is being very, I think, logical and just being like, I want your perspective. Can you just give me where you're coming from? And her first thing is, I'm not blind. Girl, that's not helpful.
I think it's funny for TV, but if you're thinking about this as like a fellow player, I think this is a situation where there are just serious personality clashes. And that does not mean that, you know, like the Tevin faction is wrong or Venus is wrong, but I can understand how they are not getting along right now and that they are not really wanting to play together right now. And that's kind of the arguments I like on Survivor, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want people to be hating each other because, like, one of them is spewing microaggressions against the other or something like that. Like, those are not fun disputes. And we've had those disputes on Survivor before.
Yes.
That is not the type of argument that I am going to be enjoying watching in the show. People just not getting along, having personality clashes, somebody being too blunt, or somebody, you know, one person trying to reason with the other and the other person being kind of snarky or something like that, or just not getting along in the way that you would hope you get along with a tribe mate. fair game. I'm eating it up. Like, let's see more. I don't think there is a right or wrong here. I think there is a, I can see how these people are not getting along. And I can understand why Venus is on the outs. I don't think that, while she's such a fun TV character, I get it. I get why she is not with the majority at the moment. Yeah. I really enjoy the interactions that we have currently seen with Brandon and Venus, because they just seem like two very different people. I think that they would.
I start seeing the similarity.
Yes? Oh my God. Please tell. Please tell.
Okay. So this is coming from multiple things, right? Because for Venus, it's like, okay, she's having, it does seem like a personality clash, but I think it was with the extra clip that we got where Venus, she says the wrong word and everyone basically says like, oh, is this what she meant? And she's like, I said that. And it's like, everyone says no. And she just is so adamant that she said rice. I think it was about food or something like that. But I was like, oh, if she's doing this to them all the time, and they're like, we're not listening to you. I think that was her big thing that her frustration was, is that she felt unheard. And they're like, no, we're hearing you, but also you're then switching up. I was like, oh, Venus, this isn't good. There was an extra clip of Venus and Tevin trying to talk things out. It was still a little...
Saw that, yes.
But it was an attempt. And then when it came to the soda after the cart challenge in the last one, now, forgive me, I did want to go back and rewatch it because I was like, if they ran over Venus after she said something, I would be pissed too. But I saw a tweet and someone's like, I rewatched, and when Venus says something, Soda's like, you're going to like run her over, and they did address it. And Venus was still mad and was like, no one listened to me. Well, if Soda's on your side and is listening to you. And like, I think for the beginning, Randon also seemed like headstrong and had called her Parvati and blew up her spot immediately. And now all of a sudden they're allies. Like, I think they both just like kind of fly off the mouth really quickly. And then it's like hard for them to get allies after.
I think I agree, because I didn't rewatch where that challenge was happening, but I did see some tweets pointing out where there were people like Soda saying, be careful, you're going to run over her and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So while I acknowledge that Survivor is a very stressful environment and people are probably not going to behave the same way that they would in, you know, just like your everyday life, if you were doing a challenge like this where you've been fed and you're able to shower and things like that. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. But I do think that, like, when we see them interact together, Randon and Venus, we are seeing, like, well, Randon wants to hear her perspective, and then Venus saying, like, well, I'm not blind, like, obviously. So I think they, like, play off each other very well for allies. And I think that, like, that's a fun thing to see. But I also am not against, like, I've seen some people be against the Tevin Hunter Soda faction of it all. Mm-hmm. Really, I think the people winning out the most on this are the Team Liz folks, who are just like, they're just happy their girl is not in the conversation at this point. And who can blame them? I love Liz. I think she is so funny. I love that she has become a regular Twitter presence around the time that the Survivor episodes air. And I'm just living for the Liz Wilcox edit of it all.
Yeah. I agree. And what she does later,
oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so excited to talk about Advantage Journey when we get there.
Yes. Randon, by the way, he says he had a hard night's sleep. He lost feeling in his right side. Like, that's wild. But right now we think, oh, maybe he just slept wrong. Maybe he'll regain it later. We go into our challenge. This was a relay. I think everyone did pretty well. Everyone was kind of neck and neck at the very end. So they had to jump into the water. Hopefully you're a good swimmer. Finally, what does it all come down to? It comes down to basically basketball. You're throwing these sacks on top of these poles, and Oh my gosh. I was so rooting for Yanu.
It got to a point where it became very clear what was going to happen was the same thing that has happened the other two damn episodes. But they just need a win so bad. This is such a competitive group of people on Yanu, and they just can't pull out the win. And it's so sad to see. We always get a disaster tribe in these three tribe formats, but I don't like that we get a tribe that loses constantly, because it just feels like we're picking off the tribe itself until we're just left with like two large tribes and maybe a couple leftovers at the end. And mm-hmm. I hope that's not what happens here. That's why I'm hoping for a tribe swap soon.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this tribe, and I'm glad we didn't lose any of them. I didn't want it to be at the expense of Randon. I just would have mm-hmm. preferred we got them to pull out a win, and another tribe had to vote somebody off.
Exactly. Tiffany was killing it. Q throws most of the balls, basically fall off, have to start all over, and yeah, they lose. Now, what happens after? And what we learned about Q was freaking wild. Because
oh my god, yeah,
now yep. spiraling. His high school trauma. This man, I guess, from Mississippi, and he got put on the front paper for fumbling. And
yes.
he's like, choked. I need to be going home. Tiffany, she has no patience for this.
Absolutely not. She was not for it.
No, she's like, you're gonna chill out, we're taking out Bonu.
Yeah, it's like, it was nice that you thought that, but that is not what we're not voting you out, shut up, please.
Exactly.
Stop exactly. it right now.
So meanwhile, at the end of this, Liz gets to pick people who she's gonna go on a trip with. She picks Ben and Bonu. I wonder why she picked Ben. But yeah, she was going for easy picking.
I am obsessed with the fact that these three people went on a journey together. When we first get presented with the idea, right, before everything happens, I was like, this is a fun group, right? This is a fun group of people. And it gives us a little bit of suspense, because I think as a collective, the assumption is Bonu is going here, right?
Yes.
And we kind of know, and now he's away from his group while they're basically just all in agreement that he's going. However, this could make a lot of big changes here, because we don't know what's going to happen on this advantage mm-hmm. journey. But outside of all of that, outside of the fact that just strategically this is like a good decision to take Bonu away from the rest of the Yanu people, Ben, Liz, and Bonu are all just very quirky side characters at this point. I would say Bonu has been promoted to main character this episode,
mm-hmm.
and they are so fun. This is just such a fun trio. Two of these people have not been to tribal council. They haven't even had to think about tribal council yet. And one person who has just been through the ringer on his own accord, like, this is his fault, but still been through the ringer. And not 5 minutes have gone by since they've been on the beach, and he's just spilling the tea on all of all of Yanu's business here. We hear about Q and Tiffany being a duo, but Kenzie is the one running the show. Now, I don't agree with that assessment, but that
How is that
like,
his assessment? I'm very
I don't confused. Yeah. My thing is, I don't agree with the assessment that Bonu gave them. However, this is from his perspective, so yeah. He is going to tell them what he thinks is going on at the moment, and they are eating it up. They love it. They love hearing how, like, every little detail of the Yanu drama on here, because even though they have, like, you know, they're really down in the numbers here, they obviously don't know that they're about to have a medevac here.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know about the other players and, like, what is happening over there, because probably at least a few of them are going to be making the merch here.
Agreed. And, like, it's so interesting, because I'm also just imagining what the trip on the boat to here was like, because the way that it was just immediately kind of like, let's get on Bonu, I wonder if he was crying already or what.
I know, I'm so curious.
Because Liz just does a little bit. She's just like, how are you feeling, Banu? Oh, it must be so rough. Tell me all of your woes. And I feel like he held out just a little bit. But that next, she was like, do you need a hug? When she offered the hug, he was done for. He fell to the ground and was just like, I've been asking God for a sign that it exists and that I could stay in this game. Then he says, I'm here to win a million hearts, not $1 million. So basically he wants Sia money.
This episode should have been called A Million Hearts. I'm sorry. Like, it really should have. I don't know. I can't even remember who said the wackadoodles line, but...
Probably Ben.
Probably. But, however, I think it really should have been A Million Hearts here, because this is kind of wild. This is just a wild rant to have.
Yes.
But... I didn't even think about what the ride over there would have been like. I assumed Liz was asking that because Yanu just lost again. And obviously there's been a lot of Matt talk this season. Uh-huh. We've seen a lot of it, not so much this episode, but in previous episodes. I can totally see, like, this was just the perfect group of people to be there because they're so reactionary to everything that Banu is throwing at them. That does not rock. Like, Ben is just, will forever live rent-free in my, this is just a good group of people to have. They're so good. This was such a funny moment to me. I know that this is obviously, like, I would probably be very similar to Banu if I was on a journey like this and I knew I was probably getting voted out here, right? Like, I am not saying I would be any better than him. Absolutely not. But... this was so funny. With these group of people, I can't help but laugh at just the ridiculousness of it all. It's like a slapstick comedy just, like, folding out right in front of us.
Truly, truly, he just snitching, just on the ground snitching. And Yanu already knows he's snitching. So, basically, they have to draw rocks. Liz does not get anything but all that tea from Banu. Banu and Ben, they do the block puzzle. Banu starts panicking. He's asking God to help him. He's scrambling. I wrote down, he's scrambling as if the cameraman has a camera on one shoulder and a gun on the other.
That's not real, though.
Yes. So, Banu loses. I don't even think we see Ben finish the puzzle. It's just like, yeah, he got it.
No, he lost. Okay. He ran out of time. So, like, this is the thing I didn't... So, all in all, this was a great advantage journey because we got to see three not super present cast members. Well, I would say Banu, obviously, has been very present this episode. But, like, Ben and Liz have been more relegated to, like, the sidelines recently. And now this is a moment where we get to see a lot more of them.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. And obviously, Banu spilling the tea on Yanu was just incredible here. But the one thing I did not like here is that I don't understand why they did this puzzle with the hourglasses. And what ended up happening is that Banu and Ben both lost their votes here. Right. I think it makes a lot more sense for them to just play until one of them gets it. And then the first person to be done gets whatever advantage is available, the other person loses their vote or whatever it is that ends up happening here.
Truly, I don't know how they think it's so much more compelling that everyone's just, like, losing their votes right. Yeah. So everyone's going back to their places. And of course we already talked about it a little bit, but poor Randon. These two show up. Nothing good is happening when these two are showing up unexpected.
I knew exactly what was happening at this point because there is no reason for them to both be at camp, like, unless it's for the reason that it ends up being.
Exactly. So there is a theory that Randon has a disc that moved, pushing on the nerve that is affecting the movement in his hand, and they have to do an MR to make sure, so he gotta go bye-bye. So, Randon, He's out. Very unfortunate. Venus, again, on her island, probably just hoping she makes it to merge and can make more friends. Who do you think Venus would vibe with on the other tribes?
It could go one of two ways. So, like, I think her best bet is latching on to one of the Sega folks and being kind of like a unexpected ally for one of them. I think that's probably like the most mellow of the groups that we have seen so far. I think Yanu is the obvious pick because they are losing so many people for players to try to flip over or flip them to work with them. Mm-hmm. But I feel like from what we have seen from Yanu, they have been such strong personalities over there that I don't really know how Venus would mesh with. It could go really well, or it could blow up in her face. I think probably the best thing she could do here is align with Sega, but I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen.
Yeah, honestly, my dream, and my dream is always mess. So my dream alliance is Venus goes to Tiffany and Kenzie.
See, that's what I would love to see happen. Yes. But I like you have said, some of the comments that Venus has made, some of the ways that she has talked to people, I don't think that like Kenzie and Tiffany couldn't handle that. Yeah. I just think that at some point, especially with like the bond that Tiffany has with Kenzie and the bond she has with Q, mm-hmm. I just don't know if it would work long term. I think at some point there's going to be some moments in there where it's just like this is not going to work out long term. I could really see, and maybe we'll get an answer to this, but I really see like the Yanu people vibing with people like Tevin, like Hunter. Mm-hmm. Like, I can really see Q forming a bond with Hunter. I could see Tiffany or Kenzie getting along with Tevin, or I think Soda's a whole different story because she has been fighting with Q, and I guess there was some Matt shit talking between her and Tiffany as well, but I know it's a whole mess, but I do think that like there are just some very clear counterpoints here where I'm like, mm-hmm. I can see these two people getting along. I could be very wrong when they actually happen in real time, if they happen in real time, but I just don't know. I don't know what her avenue is long term unless, you know, there starts to, you know, maybe there are some positive interactions that happen there, but it's been very, very hard on Nami.
Yes, it has. I did notice when Yanu was having their emotional moment after their that Tim had some kind words for them. Tim is over on Sega, a black man here, and he was like, keep your head up, Yanu. And I was like, all right, Tim, are you eyeing our Tiffany? Are you eyeing our Q? And was like, hang in there.
I'm so curious. So we've seen a lot of Matt. We've heard a lot of Matt chick talking between Nami and Yanu, which continues mm-hmm. to prove the fact that Sega is just the good vibes tribe, right? Like, yeah. This is just, we're just continue to get evidence for this assumption that I've made in my head. But I could definitely, like, realistically, this is a smart move for Tim, especially if he's one of the people that's probably the most likely to go if Sega were to lose an immunity challenge here. So like those people that know that they were up on the chopping block, as great as it is to think Sega as a group of six could go all the way together, mm-hmm. at some point once you get to that six, there's going to be a sixth place and a fifth place and a fourth place. Like there's going to be people that don't make it past that mark. And yep. I think for someone like Tim, someone like Mariah, mm-hmm. maybe even someone like Ben, I think they need to also start thinking about, yeah, like, it's great to have an OG tribe that, you know, aren't going to be targeting you immediately once we get to merge, but we also need to start looking at some other options here, and whether Tim meant the good job, like, staying in there, guys, as, like, a genuine, like, I wanted to show you guys some kind words because you're going through it, or if he's thinking about it a little deeper and saying, like, I want to be comforting, but also, if you survive, I want you to think of me as, like, someone you could work with here. Mm-hmm. Justin may be one of the luckiest people to be on SIGA right now. I think he might be a likely candidate to go if SIGA lost, but for the time being, SIGA isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Tim should have thrown, like, an I love you to them.
I know. Just give a little heart.
Yeah. I feel like Kenzie would play it up to get through. She's ready to flirt to make her way through.
I feel like Tim, with working with Yanu, would be kind of a great fit in there. And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think, like, his personality that we have seen so far has just been very mellow.
Yeah.
Still thinking about the game, but very mellow. And he is, I believe he's a football coach. He is a coach for, so he probably has a connection to sports, like, and I think it's college sports specifically, and Q played in college sports, so there's a solid connection there. But he doesn't seem like he would, maybe he would clash with Tiffany, Q, them, but there's nothing that he's really done that makes it stand out, makes me think, like, he couldn't work with them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Will be interesting. This episode ends then with Jeff making one more trip. He has to go to Yanu, and he tells them, hey, Brandon's out for nerve damage. This is your gain. The reaction to this was wild. Because at that moment, Tiffany was lying to Banu. Tiffany was straight up saying, hey, I haven't even made up my mind yet. Yes, you have, Tiffany. You're not going to get rid of your closest ally, Kenzie, for Q, because Q feels threatened by her. That's not going to happen. So at this point, Banu, he goes into another spiel. He tells Jeff that he's his guru. Jeff says maybe he should rethink that. What do you think of Jeff Probst being a good guru or not?
No, absolutely not. I think Jeff does what he does very well, which is host Survivor. You know, it is a craft he has worked on for decades now.
Perfected.
I don't think Jeff wants to be anybody's guru. I don't think he is there to deliver the news and be on his way and, like, react to their reactions and then leave. I don't think he is there to, like, offer any particular advice with them.
Yes.
And also, like, he has already seen this tribe twice. Now this makes it his third time. They almost had another tribal council date with him. Yes. So, you know, it's a lucky break for them, I guess, that it feels so gross to be talking about a medevac that way. But it is a lucky break for them in that they don't have to go to tribal council. But what'd you say?
They flat out called it a win.
I know. And it feels so... And I am so happy that Randon is okay, right? Like, yes. He is not hurt. It makes things a little bit better that we know there was no permanent damage done or anything like that. It was nothing that was not fixable.
Yeah.
But medevacs are just not a fun thing for me. I don't like them. I don't like that we have to have them. I get that they are necessary. And I think production made the right call here, pulling him out of the game. Mm-hmm. But they're just not a way that you want people to go out. Quips are a little different. You still don't want them to happen. But if the person made the decision to sell, to leave, they feel they can't do it anymore, then you're kind of like, okay, well, good for everybody that's left that didn't quit here. But a medevac, it just does not seem like something I could ever celebrate. It's not something that feels fun. It's not like this person outwitted, outplayed this other person here. It's just like, Randon had had a really tough break with how he was sleeping on the bamboo, and they had to pull him out of the game because they were worried it could be a spinal injury. Like, that's not fun. That's not a fun way to end the episode. It's just kind of like contemplating things afterwards. It's just hard to, obviously, we're going to have a new episode. We're going to have a lot of mess happening this next episode, I'm sure, because everybody in Yanu is still there. But it's just not a fun ending. It's never a fun ending for me. Even like in 44, where we had Matthew pulled out of the game for something that was like, relatively his fault. Like, he fell, he climbed a very tall rock and he fell and he had to get evacuated afterwards. Like, or he was pulled from the game or given the option to pull from the game because his arm was not going to get any better. And I, like, even something like that, it was not a fun ending, especially with how much Matthew was doing while he was in the game. I just would have liked to see, you know, it's just not a way you want to see any players end their time in the game.
Agreed. But now I'm at this point where I'm like, should we give a second chance to everyone who was medevaced, like, recently?
So, my immediate, so I hate medevacs. And I do, I would like to see people that have been medevaced before to get a chance to return. But I think there are some certain instances where it's either not necessary or it's just kind of like, is it really a priority when we're thinking about the returnee aspect of things? Now, I'm very happy that Bruce got to have the chance to return, right? Like, I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy Bruce got his chance. And I think that he had a very good run for his second chance in the game. So I'm very happy with that being, like, Bruce's arc in the Survivor universe. Randon is another player that I feel like was really making the most of his game, and I would love to see him return if we are given the option for him. He says he wants to play again. I say, let's give it to him. Mm-hmm. There are some other medevacs would love to see in some shape or form, but not all of them are necessary to me. Like, if they're there, great. If not, we probably have another really great player in his replacement, and at the end of the day, we can't have everybody that has ever been medevaced come back.
No. It would be, maybe if it was like medevacs versus new players.
Right? Oh my God, can you imagine?
Let's bring back themes. I think that's just like my big takeaway.
I do kind of miss the themes. Like, I made fun of the themes a lot when they were a thing, like, especially when we started getting towards like Game Changers, like, Heroes versus Hustlers versus whatever, like, all of that. Like, I was the first one to be a little bit of a hater with some of these themes. I miss them so much. I miss the themes. I'm so sick of the numbers, like 41, 42, all of that. I know what season I'm talking about, but I still am just like, ugh, like, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to do, like, all of that. I like the themes. The themes are fun. They're goofy. They're camp. I just want to see more of them.
Yes, yes. Our last words in this episode are from Q saying, Kenzie doesn't know how close she was to going home. Q, be so for real.
I am so curious. You know, I'm glad Yanu did not lose a member here. Mm-hmm. I wish it was under different circumstances, but I'm happy that they didn't lose a member. However, there is, like, that very curious part of me that's like, what would have happened if they went to tribal council? Because Q seems very confident in the fact that Kenzie would have been voted out here. But I think he has good authority to think that he is right, right? Like, I think that there is a world where Kenzie would have been voted out here. However, I don't know. I just think at, like, the point that they are at right now, would Tiffany have voted out Kenzie for Banu? I'm not fully convinced on that. She does say during this episode that, like, she has not made up her mind yet, which could be very true. But I don't know. I don't know either way. It would have been really interesting to see how this would have played out.
Yeah. I think Q underestimates how self-interested Tiffany is. Like, Tiffany says earlier, Q's used to, like, people looking to him like a coach. And she's like, I'm not. But that's what he thinks. And that's why he's, like, taking, oh, I let you guys down. She was like, I was in that fight as much as you. I was not hinging my win on you. So yeah, we'll see where it goes. My chaotic buy moment, as I tweeted, is Kenzie being a mermaid dragon. I think all bisexuals should adapt this great description because it's so good. It's like pretty mermaid, but also don't mess with her. She's a dragon. What's your chaotic bi moment, or is it the same?
That's such a good chaotic bi moment. I'm trying to, does that necessarily have to be a bisexual, or is it just like the energy of it?
Energy.
So I would, I would say then The Advantage Journey. Just everything from beginning to end. This was just like the perfect trio to go on this specific journey to catch my attention. And it was so funny. It was just such a, everything about it was so chaotic. Banu obviously breaking down is the highlight, but their reactions to everything, Liz getting a rock to just leave, neither of them completing the challenge, just the entire thing was a disaster. And it was a magnificent disaster. I would watch like the extended cut of this. It was so good.
Yes. And what is our beautiful black moment of the
episode? Oh, I have mine.
Okay.
The whole part with Q talking about voting him out over Banu, or like saying he doesn't deserve to be here, and Tiffany is just straight up like, absolutely not. Like, okay, I get you're upset, but like, get over yourself.
Yes.
I think that like, and we saw, I don't know if you follow Q on Twitter, like have seen any of his tweets, but he did respond about this, where he admitted this was a very low moment.
Yes.
He was feeling sorry for himself. He was in a tough spot, but then he got that attitude adjustment and was like right back to work after that.
Yep.
This was a moment of weakness that obviously because of Survivor was aired and like was filmed and aired and put in a certain way, but it was right back to work after this. And I think that a lot of us, we need a Tiffany like this, like for this situation. Like, of course, in a game like this, you are going to have moments where you feel bad for yourself, or you feel dejected, you feel like this is absolutely the worst thing anybody on the show has ever gone through because it's you. And to have someone like Tiffany be able to just be like, all right, I get that you're feeling sad right now, but be serious for a second. Mm-hmm. You need that. You need that person that's going to, I wouldn't say have your best interest at heart, but just be like, all right, you need to stop it for a second. You need that tough love. You need that, all right, we are back in business now. And I think Hugh is somebody that would respond positively to that. And I think like this exemplifies why this duo works so well together.
I agree. My beautiful black moment is a little different. It's Tim who looked over at Yanu, falling out, and he's just like, keep your head up. To me, that was
so
the black
cute.
People.
But, I'm glad you said that. And also, I just think that, like, we haven't seen a lot of Tim. He didn't get any confessionals this episode yet. So it was nice to see him just, like, he's just, like, a nice, like, it's like, a little, like, a dad moment. He's a dad, so it makes sense where he's just, like, keep your head up, guys. Like,
I know.
It was sweet. I do agree. I think that was a really good moment.
It was. Oh, my goodness. I think we talked it out. I'm thinking of Q right now and what else I wanted to say. I think what I wanted to say is probably everyone on this tribe has had their breaking point. Even Tiffany, I would think her crying and assuming that she did too much and was like coming across as like the angry black woman last episode was her down moment. So this is Q's down moment. So we all got that out of our system. Hopefully it's only up from here.
We have had enough. We have had enough of the down moments. We want better for Yanu.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Gia, for your time and talking about this episode. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at ClassicallyGia for all of my reality TV shenanigans. Over on Inside Survivor, I'm doing my weekly recap of Survivor 46 with my good friend Christine Palin. I'm also on Silent Podcast doing my weekly recaps of Survivor 46 with our podcast I Don't Know About That. And follow the Survivor Diversity campaign on Twitter, at Serve Diversity. It's at SURV Diversity. And also I'm podcasting on Recap Kickback with Chappelle for Abbott Elementary. Such a good season so far. I am so glad it is back. I've missed it so much. And I can't wait to talk more about it. I just watched the newest episode recently, and it was so good. So I'm very excited to see where the rest of the season goes.
Very nice. Very good. I am, again, Nicole Weaver. You can read my articles and reporting on Collider on Black by Reality. We are wrapping up Love is Blind. We have our episode about the reunion coming out very soon. And then after that, it's going to just be Survivor until maybe Big Brother. So, although I might get some more Couple to Thruple interviews. So please be on the lookout for that. If you haven't watched that chaotic Peacock show, I do suggest that you watch it. And of course, we did recaps of The Traitor with different reality TV guests. If you haven't checked out our Traitors recaps, go ahead and do it. The whole season's out. Maybe you're missing all those great people. And lastly, for Survivor, we have more guests coming out. I will say the one for next episode is from a show that we recently recapped that I just said. So please stay tuned with that, and please follow Black by Reality across all socials. Bye. Mm-mm-mm.